I've come to Corby. It takes a lot to get me to come to Corby, even though I'm a lot closer to it nowadays than I used to be. But I got involved in a conversation with a guy called Nick, who has a shop in Corby, and it's the kind of shop that I may have gone past because I had no idea of what kind of Aladdin's cave it would be when I stepped through the door. I was phoning around trying to find a bit of information about radio-controlled cars. I have not been involved in radio-controlled cars since possibly the late 80s. Now I'm showing my age. And Nick, I've never had anybody give me so much information in a short period of time on the phone, so I had to come here and meet you in person. Plus, you don't have a website.
Well, the worst thing you can never find is if somebody has a website and it's not kept up to date. You go on there and the Christmas decorations are still out and whatever. Unfortunately, we're quite a small company. We'd like to give attention to detail, give the right information. Anyone can sell stuff on the internet, but the problem is to explain something to someone about radio control when you start selling nitro fuel cars or, you know, some of the updated brushless motor electric cars. The information is easier transferred to someone actually eye to eye. Just give them the right information.
Now, I was looking for a particular car, which I was told by somebody that possibly may be being discontinued. Now, you told me that it looks like this is being discontinued, but then you went back to the manufacturers, grilled them, found out exactly why, exactly what might be coming out, whether or not the support would be, you know, around, should I put... You weren't going to let me make a purchase, which you couldn't then back up, which I kind of liked, and I don't see that kind of customer service. Do you think that by not focusing on online sales and keeping almost fully on face-to-face, you maintain this customer service, or is it just something you've always done?
The thing is, at the end of the day, you sell a product, and also you don't want someone buying a product like a radio-controlled car of any description, whereby then they have a problem with it, they can't get any help and backup, they can't get the spares, ends up going in the garage, the shed or whatever. When somebody then says, oh, I'm going to buy radio control again in the future because they had a bad experience, you've lost somebody from the sport. So we find if you can sell somebody a product that they can get spares for and a backup, we're not looking silly when they say we've broken this, we can't get bits for it. If you're buying a toy radio control, which you're going to buy from, say, Toys R Us, Argos or whatever, or Argus, as they call it these days, you know, at the end of the day, we like to supply something where we can get backup. Also, it's a revenue to us because we can offer a service to someone. Someone's very busy, leading a busy life. They want to leave the car with us. We'll tune the car up, do the repair, and you know, obtain the spare parts from. So we stick to premier names like your Tamiya, your HPI, and Ansman because they're fair price and you can get the bits. And if somebody says buys something like a Savage or your Rock Hoppers or whatever, if they move, never mind to John O'Groats or Land's End, but if they move to China, you know, this product brand is available, you know, worldwide.
Radio control cars, I now know, is a very small part of what you do, or at least a good corner of the shop. I'm looking at motorised scooters.
Yeah.
You've got miniature motorbikes. You've got non-motorised scooters. You've got electric stuff all over the place.
Assisted bikes. Power-assisted electric bikes, which are very popular. And it's not just the elderly buy them. Younger people buy them as well because you don't need tax insurance or whatever.
You've got full-blown 50cc 125 scooters that... who on earth can afford, they must be stolen, who can afford to do £1,100 for leathers, helmet, scooter?
What you get with that, we're doing the bike registered on the road tax under the number plate, and you get the boots, the bottoms, which are thermal lined, hip and knee protection. You've got a jacket which has the protection built into it, plus a thermal liner for the winter. It comes with a balaclava, helmet and gloves, and we're doing a package including 2 free services on that for £1,099. So you're talking road taxes, £16 a year, over 100 miles to the gallon. We've got people here in Corby using taxis, £5 each way. So if you multiply that by your working week, by your working year, take your holidays out, that's over £2,500 a year in taxes. You know, so you could buy 2 mopeds a year and throw them away.
It is crazy, and if anybody listening to this right now is going to go, hang on, this sounds like a bit of an advertisement. It isn't, because I can't give you a website at the end of this. At the very best, I could probably give you a phone number and Nick's name.
Well, yeah, I mean, the company's called Motor Savers. The address is 70 George Street, Corby. The postcode's NN171QE. The phone number is 01536 202729, and you'll find anybody picking up the phone will be very helpful if it's something we handle, you know.
It's, yeah, it's weird not being able to, you know, you're not on Twitter, you're not on Facebook, you're not, so you obviously have a lot of, I imagine you have a lot of repeat customers. Do you get fresh people coming through the door all the time?
We get fresh customers coming through the door, but we find that there's a lot of people that come back to us because they know, we've known them for years. You know, I mean, I'm 54, been in the trade since the age of 13, and people know what we're all about.
So how does a business survive in this climate without advertising online? Do you have to diversify like you have? I mean, do you have to go into import? I mean,
We have imported some products and such like, which isn't necessarily for what we're doing here. But the thing is, we are looking down the line in the future to do a bit more importing and distribution, but that's going to be something totally removed from what we're doing here. The reason we don't have a website, I mean, we're part of the A1 Motor Store Group. We take part with their website that they put together for us, but we don't have an independent website because I can't afford to have someone sitting in the back room playing around with the internet. You don't know what they're doing, and also the cost to actually keep it up to date, it just the profit margin just isn't there for this single retail outlet.
So you said it would be worth me coming in for a chat because you were interested in knowing a little bit more, and I kind of see where you're getting from now, because in some ways, shape or form, this, what we're doing right now, is a bridge between yourself, who just seems insanely busy with everything that you're doing here, and everybody that is on the internet, because without knowing it, probably you're now speaking on a new channel to a new load of people who may well take the time to pick up the phone.
Around about 10 years ago, we moved locations to us. Sorry, 11 years ago, and then we bought the 125-year lease on the shop. And people were saying, well, you know, you don't want a shop because the internet's going to take over. The internet is there. It's always going to be there. And it has upset retailing dramatically. But the thing is, I'm still a believer that a lot of people that buy stuff from us may have seen the products on the internet. The suppliers have put them in touch with us because they've turned around and said, look, I don't want a bike or electric bike or a scooter to turn up in the post and not know what I'm doing, and to do with the radio-controlled cars as well. At least they can come here, they can have face-to-face contact, and we will help them through. I mean, we have people bringing stuff that they've bought on the internet, and, OK, perhaps we feel sorry for them. We charge them for the service, but, you know, it's a reasonable service. It's not like having your BMW serviced or something like that. Mm. You know, we will give them impartial advice and help them out the situation. I mean, all the bikes that we sell, we will not sell a bike in a box. All our bikes are set up. We've got Pete over there, and he lives in the corner, and he assembles every bike that goes out of it. We will not sell a bike in a box. I think it's disgusting when people do that because, you know, a bike is going on the road, and it should be really set up so it's a safe item, not something that Dad's put together who's never held a screwdriver before.
Yeah, definitely straight down the line. You say what you think. We've had some awesome conversations in the hour or so that I've been here already. I'm distracted now by reusable rockets. It's like a geek paradise here. I'm going to now say, what happens if someone like me comes in here and haggles? Are you a guy that people can haggle with?
If there's a I'm a haggler, so basically speaking, nobody...
You respect the art.
Basically speaking, everybody wants a deal. If we can do a deal, but basically speaking, years ago, we used to knock all the prices down. We had a shop in Leicester, and in Leicester, you've got a lot of people that want to haggle for a price, and the problem is we said, well, we can't get to everybody, and we put all the prices up so we could, the recommended retail prices, so people could haggle.
It's part of the culture, and that's exactly what happens.
I was trying to find the right words there. But the problem is you can't get to every customer because we're a small company. So if you had 20 people blasting here, we couldn't negotiate with 20 people at the same time. So I turn around and says, if you can afford to do a price on something, we will do it. Like, I've got helmets over there for motorcyclists that should be, say, 80, 90 quid. We're doing them for £49. I've got motorcycle jackets over there that should be 79 quid, and we're doing them for 39 quid.
You're not really giving me much room here for haggling.
No, but the thing is...
Because I'm likely just to buy that.
No, but the thing is, at the end of the day, you may as a customer come in, if that jacket had 79 quid on it, you'd never think it was going to be 39 quid. So rather than we lose the odd customer that we can't get to, we tell them that's the price. If somebody says something to us and we can do them a little bit more, we will do. But generally speaking, if you want to buy a bike, for instance, and you want to buy a bike in a box, for instance, a BMX, my mechanic can put four mountain bikes together generally quicker than one BMX because they come in more segments. So there's a lot more work. So if you want to buy a BMX in a box, and then bring it into us, then we will charge you 40 quid to put it together to get it working right. If you want to save the 40 quid because you're mechanically minded and you've got the right tools and all the rest of it, if you're not, looking at it and thinking, well, the suppliers may say, well, there's a little bit of assembly work needed. It's not just assembly, it's the fine tuning. So that item works correctly and it's safe.
Yeah.
So in other words, the internet is great, but there's certain things you shouldn't really be buying off it unless you're an expert in that field.
I like it. And I like the fact there's still always flexibility. I'm going to have another little bit of an explore and see what it is that I can come across, because I'm being taken back to my childhood in some corners and I'm being educated in others. Nick, you've survived how long as a shopkeeper?
Well, I'm 54 and I came in when I was 13 and I was going to be a graphic designer. I've slipped up somewhere.
Well, I hope you you survive for at least that same amount of time again. Thanks very much, man.
Thank you, your man.